to Psalm 87. If you ever read this psalm, I'm sure those of you who have been through the Bible once or twice or a few times or 20 times, you get to Psalm 87 and you just kind of read it and say, all right, there's something I don't understand. And then you just go on to the next one. Or maybe you do understand it. Let's do this. Let's pray, and I'll read the whole psalm, then I'll go back and get it, and actually find some wonderful, wonderful things here. So, Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this glorious privilege we have to be in your very presence. How amazing it is, Lord, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need, that you are available to us, and that you have made your home in our hearts, and that where two or more are gathered, you are surely there in their midst. God, this is way more incredible than I think sometimes we're willing to understand. I pray that you'd blow our minds tonight with this. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for desiring to teach us and draw us closer to you. I pray you'd give us that desire to be drawn closer to you, the desire for holiness and righteousness. So God, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your grace, and that you'd teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the sons of Korah, these are those that we saw with King David as part of his worship team and such, could very well be the descendants of the Korah that got in a lot of trouble in Numbers chapter 16. We don't know. But regardless, it would seem that these sons of Korah do a little relaxed research and find out that these guys like to write about Jerusalem and the temple. They loved that subject. And so, let's go ahead. Did I read the whole thing yet? Oh, I didn't, did I? Let's go ahead. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab in Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. All right. Zion. Trying to figure out Zion. I have struggled with Zion, and it's so fun because, you know, over the course of teaching the scriptures and having to explain these things, it has come to a real easy simplification for me when you talk about Zion, because you see the word Zion 161 times in the scriptures, and it is spoken of as a holy place. It's Mount Zion where we mostly see the word Zion, and it's a place there that was there in Jerusalem before it was Jerusalem, back when it was Jebus, before the Israelites came and conquered it. And there they put Jerusalem. Now Mount Zion is like on the east side, I believe, of Jerusalem, the actual Mount Zion. But then Mount Zion was then called the City of David. Then Jerusalem was called City of David. Bethlehem was even called the City of David. And then Mount Zion then Jerusalem itself was referred to as Mount Zion. And so, you know, in trying to figure out, well, when you say Zion, what are you saying? Well, you're saying God's home, where God rules and reigns, and it is mostly physically, materially in Jerusalem. That is Mount Zion. Now, again, it doesn't mean that all of Jerusalem is on a mountain called Zion. It's just another name for Jerusalem. but it comes from Mount Zion, which is right next to it. But obviously, his foundation, God's foundation, is in the holy mountains. God's selection of Canaan in the first place, and then his selection of Jerusalem, is, you know, just even thinking, I started thinking about this. When Moses sees the burning bush in the wilderness, God tells him, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And when Joshua meets up with God, God said, take off your, told Joshua only one sandal. It's really funny. Take off your sandal. I don't know if he was only wearing one or he was standing on his foot. But you think, holy ground. Holy ground is a hard thing for me to understand, because inanimate objects are just inanimate objects. What they're used for matters, but still, it's just an inanimate object. It can't have any power or glory to it. Yet, God chose Israel, what we see as the land of Israel, as his holy place. He chose Jerusalem as his holy place, where he would instruct David and Solomon finally building the temple, where God said, this is where my presence will be. So the ground there in Jerusalem, if there's any place that can truly be called holy ground, where God cares about land, it's Jerusalem. That's his chosen place. Not just his chosen people, but his chosen place. This is where God's people would come to gather, to meet with God, to bring sacrifices. And again, as the temple was there, there in the holiest of all, in the very center part of the temple, was a place where the Ark of the Covenant was, which represented the very throne of God. And so God's presence was there. The Israelites, the men were required to attend three feasts. Anybody within, I can't remember the radius, were required to go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, and Pentecost. They couldn't celebrate it wherever they were. They had to go to Jerusalem. The only place they could celebrate it. They were required to go there. So, okay, all right, I'm good with that. Why are you telling us all this? Well, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The gates, by the way, speak, of course, of the entrance, but also of the gathering place. And the fact that of all places in all of Israel, which that's what dwellings of Jacob means, of all the places, God loved Zion the most. And the gates, meaning he loved as the people gathered, as they spoke of him, as they reasoned among themselves regarding his laws. He loves that more than everywhere in anything. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Obviously, God's people speaking of Jerusalem in this way. And of course, Selah is that musical interlude that gives us time to think about this. Just dwell on this for a little bit. It's hard for us to see things like this, that there would be a city that that God would have his hand on. I heard a horrible joke, and I can't believe I'm going to tell it to you. But back in the days of Reagan, what was the prime minister of Israel? What was his name? Begin? Begin was his name? What was his first name? Anybody know? You smart people? Oh, good. Everybody's just not as... none of us know. But Begin was his last name. But anyway, so Begin and Reagan were at the White House talking about things, and there were two telephones there on Reagan's desk, and Begin says, tell me about your telephones. He says, well, this phone, the red phone here, that's a direct line to Russia. Ooh, okay. And the gold phone over here is a direct line to God. And Vagin said, well, how much does that cost you? He goes, it costs us millions and millions of dollars every month. Every call, it costs millions of dollars. So, you know, we don't really use it that much. And then Reagan went to go visit Begin there in Jerusalem. And there are two phones on his. There's a red one and a gold one. He says, what was this? What's the red one? This goes to Russia. Oh, direct line to Russia. Good. He says, oh, I see you've got a gold phone too. Is that a direct line to God? He goes, yes, this is. He says, how much does it cost you? He goes, oh, nothing. It's a direct call. See, it's a stupid joke. But it makes... I hate telling jokes. But it makes the point. And it's true. It's true. That's where God was. Even as Solomon prayed, the temple had been built. Solomon kept, you know, he was saying, now look, God, when things fall apart, when we turn to your temple and repent, hear us. And God says, I will when you turn here. I will hear you. So it was a big deal. It was a much bigger deal, a greater bigger deal than, say, as the tabernacle in the wilderness. As they had originally, there was another mountain called Mount Sinai. That was when the law was given to Israel. This was not a happy phone call with God. This was Exodus chapter 19, fire, trembling, and smoke, earthquakes, and nobody wanted to talk to God. And God gave the law through Moses to them, and then set up the tabernacle, set up the law, set up the sacrificial system, and then when they got into the promised land, there he had them build the temple, and there at the temple, God's people could have fellowship with God. Still, though, under the watchful eye of the law. Okay. So it was a beautiful place, mostly because, well, mostly or maybe allly, because of God's presence there. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. What is that? What in the world does that mean? Two thoughts. As we read the rest of the next two verses, we can figure it out. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. Selah, think about that. Now, God does register the peoples. I happen to be in my own time reading through the Word in 1 Chronicles right now. I read a couple of chapters of that. That's a lot of names. God registers those names. And God knows those people. God knows every one of the people that he chose, and their names are registered with him. But what is this in verse 4? Rahab, which is another name, by the way, for Egypt, and Babylon. Now, these are big-time enemies of God's people. And even people in Babylon destroyed the temple. It says, I will make mention of Egypt and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, and these are also enemies of Israel. This one was born there. Now, either God is saying, it could be one of three things, saying, I will let all of these enemies know that this one was born there. Which one? The one who was born there. Those who are born in Jerusalem, born in Zion. Or it could mean that as God makes mention of Rahab, Babylon, and all those Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia, that he's saying that some of their names can say, I was born there. because as it is, we know that there are some who, some of the Gentiles actually became Jews, and they could be a part of Israel worship, of worshiping the God of Israel. So it could be that. So I gave you two ideas. No, that's enough. That's enough on the ideas. But those who are born in her, God will establish, and he will take care of them. I want to back up now. What does this have to do with you and me? Well, Zion, throughout the scripture, speaks of Israel. Well, sorry, speaks of Jerusalem, excuse me. But in speaking of Jerusalem, it also speaks of a spiritual Zion to come. The spiritual Zion to come is that of where you read in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48, where Jesus is ruling and reigning in person during the thousand-year millennial period. He is going to be on the throne in Zion, where it's not going to be his spiritual presence there, but his physical presence as well. And so we look at the Old Testament looking forward to this Zion. Zion, Zion. This is a wonderful thing, a great thing. And I think it just irks me that, you know, Mormons have, you know, when they got to Utah, you know, they called a place Zion. They called it Zion National Park and all of that, because they said that was where God was going to create his, where he's going to rule and reign. Any religion that starts in America. No, Zion is Jerusalem. And there's going to be a time of peace there. And it's going to be amazing. But still, what does this have to do with us? Well, we have been given something that is far beyond what I think I can even appreciate properly. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. The writer of Hebrews is explaining to the believers what is going on now since Jesus came to the cross, suffered, died, buried, and rose again. He says this. This is to all believers. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and the blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. He's talking about back in Exodus chapter 19 when God showed up. As we know that God is a consuming fire. And the writer of Hebrews is saying to us believers, you didn't touch that mountain. You didn't suffer the fire of God, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight. And Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But, he continues, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, the very first sacrifice brought to God. Zion has always been a picture of the better things to come. And when Jesus died on the cross and that veil was torn in two, we were given access. We were given audience with God Almighty. And what you and I live in right now, Christians, we live in this Zion. And we see in the scriptures that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where two or more are gathered, and there as God looks upon the gates of Zion, he looks upon the gates of the church. And he loves the gates of the church more than anything. He loves when you and I come together where two or more are gathered and we speak of him. And I don't want to misquote it, but I just love Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. It is just beautiful. If you don't think God likes to be around, we're talking about him, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. That every time we speak of God, every time we think of God, meditate on his character, he's writing it down. And that we all, now look at verse 4 again. We were from Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia. Us Gentiles. And what happened? Then suddenly, somewhere along the way, we were born in Zion. Jesus said, you must be born again. And because we were born again, we were born into that glorious city of Zion where we have access to God Almighty, where God favors us. He favors us. You know, even when we do stupid things, he favors us. Why? Because we were born there. We were born to him. We were born of the Spirit. I favor my children. If my children get in a fight with your children, guess whose side I'm on? I'm not kidding you. Even if my children are in the wrong, I'm going to favor my kid. I'll talk to my kid later. God favors us, but he'll talk to us. Amen? Yeah. But I will pull my kid aside, have a word with her. And she may get really busted. But in the middle of an altercation, my kid will be protected. That's how God is with his people, except better than that. And so we've all been born there, and we're registered in heaven. Our names are written in the book of life. Talking to Christians here. And God himself says, oh, that one was born there. That one was born there. That one was born there. And he's got it all written in there. It's fun. I go over to the hospital here, and you look at all the little baby pictures, right? Look there. Carrie Ann's there. There she is. She looks like the rest of those babies. They all look the same. The only reason I know it's her, they put her name there. But, sorry, I was there the other day and I looked. Yeah, there she is. But they have her registered there. We're registered in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. Though we were enemies of God, he chose us. He was born in us, and we are in that very holy place. As Jerusalem and that ground is holy, do you understand, no, I'm not kidding you, this is weird, that wherever we are is a holy place. I never understood this business of taking off your shoes in a holy place. Don't do it here, please. But it's like, what was this business of taking off the shoes? And years ago, I'd read one commentator try to take a stab at it, and I really liked it. And it's just that there wouldn't be anything in between you and that very holy ground. in the fact of a shoe, there's a little bit of a separation there. But if you have a bare foot on that ground, everything, I mean, it's all real. It's all, you know, as real as it gets. And when you and I are in the very holy presence of God Almighty, you know, nothing between us and Him. Nothing. No wedges of any kind. But everywhere we go is as good and magnificent as the Ark of God in the center of the temple. That's what we have. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, "All my springs are in you." And so as the singers and the musicians, singers and musicians always differentiate between the two. That was a joke. I was going to see if my wife was listening. All my springs are in you. What's this business of springs? That is just speaks of the joy of life and everything, all of life in you. What's the you? Is it Zion or is it God? I don't know. I think it could be both. I'm trying to figure out if the sons of Korah in writing this said we're talking about God. Because certainly all of our joy is in God. And it must be. And every good thing that ever comes out of us is from God. Jesus said it, talked about it this morning. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers. And that if we are going to be like Philemon and be refreshing people, we understand that it's only from God, and any refreshing thing that could possibly come out of any of us is just God pouring it in. And there is no way that we can be of any value to anybody unless God is putting it in us first. And so it is true. All of our springs are in God. But the psalmist could be talking about all of my springs are in Zion. And there's a truth there. Josh McDowell said something kind of funny to us last couple months, whenever that was when he was here. He says, we are so quick to say all you need is Jesus. And it's true. But we need the church too. And if you have Jesus, you understand that you need the church. So it's not like Jesus plus the church. No, all we need is Jesus. But if that is true in our hearts and we understand that, then we know that we need the church as well. The gates of Zion. That is where all the discussion happens, where all of the people gather. We need one another. And while our springs are in the Lord, our springs are in each other. And it is impossible for us to... It's impossible for us to have a relationship with the Lord but refuse fellowship with God's people. You can't do it. It's impossible. And the reason most people don't want to fellowship... This is good I can talk like this, because everybody here, you don't fall into that category. You're here. But the reason people don't want a fellowship is because they don't really like people. Or they've been hurt by people. Or they think they're better than these people. Because you say, why don't you go to church? Oh, and be around those hypocrites? I know how those people are. And so by saying that, there's contempt, saying, I'm better than those people. But if you've met Jesus, there's no way you could say you're better than anybody. Because you're not. And nobody's better than you either, so don't get too bent out of shape. And so all our springs, gang, all our springs are in Zion. All our life, all our joy, all our peace. It's there within the church of where God's holy presence dwells, where the two or more are gathered. And certainly God's presence is with each of us as individuals. But when two gather, then the Lord can work through each of those for one another. And then when 10, 20, 30, 100, 150, God is working. Do not forsake the gathering, because God is all over it and all the springs are there. How wonderful to know that God has his eyes on the whole world and he knows Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. And he knows who's going to be born in Jerusalem. And how he loves everybody from Babylon who got born again in Jerusalem. I don't know if I will ever, ever, ever be able to communicate the glory of belonging to God. It's one of the most frustrating things I deal with all the time. I don't know how to tell you that this is crazy, that this is amazing, that this is beyond anything. I don't even know how to tell myself. It's just that when I see chapters like this and I dwell on this for a time, I think the incredible privilege that God has given me. And that I got to be born again. And I'm going to live with them forever, because there's going to be a greater Zion than this. And when it's all done, and New Jerusalem comes out of heaven, after the heaven and the earth pass away, a new heaven, new earth show up, New Jerusalem comes out of heaven, and they're adorned as a bride. God keeps outdoing himself. And it's all for you and me. So, I just, you know, enjoy Zion. Understand that we are right in the middle of it. And that God did not make us go to Mount Sinai. We did not have to face his fury. But we face his grace and his grace alone. Amazing God. Father, thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for what you've given us and how incredible it is, God, that you would choose that place. And you would put your presence there, but Lord, with a plan to put your presence in people like us. God, that is just amazing. And I pray that even tonight, as we would worship you, that we would come before you, understanding that you're here, that we would come before you totally emptied out, shoes off, nothing between us, but to have real fellowship, a real time, Lord, with you. We thank you, God, so much. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.